On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Welcome back to Tall Can Sports number 300. And due to the storm that has rolled across the province, Rob did not get out of his pajamas today, so he joins us by phone. What's going on, man?
Literally, I did not get out of my pajamas until probably 5 o'clock.
Got yourself all gussied up to do the podcast.
Well, no, I figured at some point I should put pants on.
Yeah.
Really, no, I was out shoveling, but see, smart man shovels 3 times.
Yeah.
Idiot shovels once.
Okay. Explain.
Well, if you're going to have 30 to 35 centimeters,
yeah.
It only makes sense to shovel it 10 centimeters at a time.
But you're fucking anal about it. You're right down to the pavement, perfect every corner of the driveway, like...
Yeah.
So you got to be on it multiple times.
That's absolutely true. I don't like to. That way, any little bit of sun gets on it, bang, down to the, like, honestly. Not. Whereas if you have a blower, and I've had blowers, yeah. I've done a variety of things. I would even blow it with the snow blower and then shovel.
Right. Get that last little left
just
behind.
To get it smooth, just to get everything scraped up nice.
Yeah.
But the snow banks here are almost 8 feet.
It is.
I'm having to shovel it up and then like almost shot put it, holding onto the end of the shovel.
Heaving it over into the neighbor's yard.
For sure, man. Well, he's got a snowblower. Right. And I'm on a corner of the street. Right. So the plow comes by and as he makes the turn,
yeah.
Everything just gets pushed right into the laneway. And so I've already shoveled the entire laneway for the final time. Snow was stopped today, and I'm like, yep, good to go. Now I just got to wait for the street cleaner to come. Wow, that was loud. Hey?
Yeah, for sure it was. with authority, man.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I thought, you know what? I'm going to hold it up closer to the phone, and then sure as shit, man, that sounded loud. Then he comes by, and I thought, okay, he's going to back up. He's going to pull away the stuff at the end of the lane. No, he just pulled up and backed a bunch more shit.
Yeah, you're going to bury it.
I'd be about 4 feet tall. Yeah, I was like, holy Christ. I got nowhere to put this. Anyways.
Yeah,
you're tucked away in the studio, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure, man. I, you know, kind of got up this morning, went and took a big look at the screen door and went, yeah, I'm good here today, right?
Like, hey, was it up to your window?
not quite.
Okay, but, all right.
Yeah,
that would be a hell of a snowfall.
Well, I woke up at, I was checking the news when I got up around 7 o'clock. They said at that point we'd gotten about 29 centimeters. And the little party is like... I think we've talked about this before, a little disappointed, right? Like they're talking about like record setting snowfalls. We're like 1 centimeter short of the record. Fucking come on, right? Like if we're doing this, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, honestly, they were calling for 40 originally.
Yeah. So I guess we got off light.
Yeah, well, this is it. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. This and that. I lived through that whole 06, 07 winter.
Okay.
In a house that had an 8-car garage. A laneway, not garage.
Yeah.
Hello.
Wow, look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Jay Leno.
slow your roll there, friend. Yeah, it's true. But anyways, I'm good to go. I'm feeling outstanding.
Good, man. We got a couple of questions here. Let's we left this as the 300th All-Can Sports. We left it up to you good folks to send us your tweets, send us your message on the contact page at allcanaudio.com. Send us your Facebook messages, and you guys came through. We picked the best ones, and we'll try and go a little bit in depth here. Let's start close to home.
So what Matt's saying is the rest of you sucked.
Yeah, it's true, man.
And didn't cut the mustard.
Ask better questions. It was really, I don't have a good answer for that. I'm not thinking that.
Yeah, okay. That's tough.
Yeah.
That requires planning. Forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But let's start close to home. The first one comes from, and this is fun for those of you who've been listening for a while, Pierre in Orleans is how he dubs himself. I love Mark Stone, and I hope they re-sign him. If they don't, literally any team in the league is a good fit for Mark Stone, but I don't understand where the narrative that he is a better pickup for the playoffs than Artemi Panarin is. And he lists here Mark Stone, 13 points in 27 playoff games. Panarin, 15 points in 17 playoff games. And then he continues, is it as simple and lazy as the old Russians are soft and you can't win with them narrative? Now, I'm not sure I've heard the same, you know, Stone is a way better pickup than Panarin thing, but clearly he's getting that from somewhere.
I think you hear it from Bob McKenzie, right, in any of those places, Ray Ferraro,
right,
both TSN heads,
yeah,
who are saying, now for sure, Bob McKenzie is qualifying his saying, yeah, Mark Stone needs to be top of the trade bait board,
yeah,
right, he needs to be there, A, for his full game, and I think it's his takeaways, which is what gives him to me the edge over Panarin.
Right.
Panarin's got the more pure offense, but Stone is going to give you, honestly, markedly improved offense over past years. He's going to have highs and goals. He's already tied his career high. But to me, right now, between the two of them, the offense is almost a wash.
Yeah.
Panarin's going to give you that top-end sniper kind of stuff that Stone's not going to get. Stone's, a lot of his offense comes off of stuff in front of the net.
He does do a lot of that playoff stuff, right? That harder game, that more solid two-way game, you know.
Right, and if you look at all of Stone's, well, the majority of his experience, including 2 years ago, that's just when he was coming into his game.
Yeah.
Right, that playoff drive. So prior to that, you know, he hadn't seen a pile of experience. You got Subban whacking him on the wrist and him missing time. Just those numbers are skewed a bit, right?
Sure.
Whereas I think Panarin's a little more in his prime. But for me, it comes down to the takeaways. That ability to get the puck is a difficult task. And I think he does it better than anybody for the past 3 years.
Yeah, and I don't have a strong disagreement with that. It sounds like Pierre, I guess, if that's what he's going by, is a little bit, you know, feeling like this is maybe an overstated narrative that Panarin should be right there with Stone. But they do different things, and Panarin does bring, he's got some of that Blackhawk experience, right? I don't remember. Was he around for their last cup, or did he come over afterwards? I can't remember now.
He came over after the last one. He's only been in Columbus for 2 years, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He was traded for Saad.
Brandon Saad, that's right.
So that was bringing Saad back.
So you're with Bob and Ray, though, that if you could get one for the same price, you're taking Stone going into the playoffs.
I'm absolutely taking Stone.
Okay.
And I do agree with Pierre in Orleans, which is hilarious, too, by the way.
For sure.
That it is, I do feel like Panarin in those last playoff runs, you know, short of his six games or seven games with Columbus last year,
yeah,
against Washington, he's insulated, right, in Chicago.
Sure.
And we'll see, right? We'll see. He scored a couple of beauties last year, you know, in those first two wins.
Yeah.
Right? It was that overtime winner.
Oh, yeah.
Rattled off the bar in. But as far as wingers go, I like Stone's more complete game. But I'm a homer.
Sure. Sounds like Pierre's almost trying to be the opposite of that, right? It sounds like he's trying to give Panarin a little love, but...
Well, and I think it also comes down to is what do you need? What are you looking for? And as I said, neither one of them are a center, so the argument strictly does come down to...
Yeah, if you're a good two-way team, but your power play is not clicking or something, maybe Panarin's your better option, right? Like, it totally depends on what your needs are, and I think you're not losing on a deal if you manage to grab either one of them. So,
the other qualifier that Bob put on it, and maybe I stated it because it's the second time I've used the word qualifier, was the Sens need to trade Stone, so you know he's absolutely available.
Right.
Columbus, while they should trade Panarin, they don't necessarily have to.
Because he could be one of those own rentals, right? Ride him into the playoffs, and instead of adding at the deadline, keep him and let him walk.
I saw that somewhere yesterday, and somebody said that. Why can't your own guy be your own rental?
Yeah. That seems to be a thing that's caught on over the last couple of years. I've heard Dreger use it a lot. It was a term that was thrown around in Toronto a lot last year with, should we trade JVR right at the deadline? If you think you're any good, and the Leafs were different last year than this year, but still were a playoff team, do you know, a lot of teams are going out looking for a JVR type that you add at the debt. Why are you dealing one away even though he's going to walk? Like, treat it like a rental and hold on to him. And that's what they did. And he, Komarov, and Bozak walked at the end, and I think they were fine with that.
I know Leo was fine with it.
Yeah, well, for sure. The next question we've got here comes from Liam. Says the top three teams, the three teams closest to the NHL salary cap this year are Edmonton, Anaheim, and Detroit. ... WTF. I didn't know that.
I look at Detroit every time I go to Cap Friendly.
Yeah.
I see them sitting there at the top of the list and I go, what are you spending your money on?
What have you done? And that's with Datsyuk having been dealt to Arizona. Yeah.
Well, and it's quite simple on the, we've talked heavily about Edmonton.
Yeah.
And their misspending of cash. You know, you have your Chris Russells, who I know you love. Your Lucic.
Yeah.
And I know he's making less than Bobby Ryan, but that Lucic contract is the worst contract in the NHL.
There was an interesting debate going on online today about worst contract in the league. People were talking about Carey Price just because of its longevity, Brent Seabrook, and Lucic is obviously right in there as kind of that top group of, you know, I kind of feel like Edmonton could move Lucic easier than Montreal could move Price. Even though Price is contributing more right now, it lasts so much longer, right? Like,
well, if you can find some loser to take Dion Phaneuf without you retaining any cash, anything is possible, Matt.
Let me scroll
anything
back up possible. To Pierre and Orleans here. Oh, yes. I think that was still Murray, wasn't it?
It was still Murray.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
The Anaheim thing is interesting. We both had him finishing in the playoffs,
yep.
I believe,
yep.
That's in the preseason. I've always liked their defense. You'd hope for better from Gibson, although that's a crapshoot.
Well, man, he was lights out for the first half, and it wasn't enough.
Up until Christmas, people were talking about Vezina and MVP.
Yeah.
But that Kessler, Getzlaff, and Perry, those contracts.
So I've pulled it up here while you're talking about
them. They're on the hook. Well, let me take a stab at it. I believe they owe the three of those guys like $19 million for at least the rest of this year. And two more.
So, yeah.
Potentially Kessler is still a year beyond that.
So Perry and Getzlaff are $8 million per for the next 3 years. Kessler, actually less than I thought. He's $6 million for the next two after this one. So I also thought that 22. One was longer. Yeah. Man, terrible. Terrible.
That's the thing, right? And when you start to look at, when you're one of those groups, if you look at Detroit, when they went sort of from, you know, Yzerman and Fedorov as your two core forward pieces.
Yeah.
They moved it down to Datsyuk and Zetterberg, still great success. And then you go, yeah, and now we have Tatar and Nyquist.
Right.
And you go, oh, you
yeah.
You super miscalculated on, sure. on that.
For sure.
And now Tatar's been to Vegas and he's in Montreal now.
Yeah.
But
Darren
Helm
was going to be part of that. Justin Abdelkader was going to be part of that, right? Like, oh, yeah. This core is not the old core.
In terms of those two pieces, right? Yeah. If you can have those two pieces up front, right? And I think when Anaheim, they could sustain the aging of those guys and slowing down. And I mean, literally slowing down.
Yeah. Anaheim has had 100 points for the last six seasons. So they're coming to the end of this. Like, this started in 07. They had the big whatever, right? We're 12 years removed from that. Then they kind of went down a bit again. But, you know, Getzlaff and Perry and Dustin Penner, right? And Andy McDonald. And
I think Maroon was in that.
Right, probably. Yeah, like that we're all kind of around at that cup time.
They hey, don't forget Francois Beauchemin.
Former Leaf.
Hey. Yep. Pronger and Niedermeyer were all there in those early years.
But in terms of guys that kind of were coming up at that right time, got in on that cup, and then kind of rode it out to this new era of, you know, 2012 through now, where they were pretty good again. But you're coming to the end of that. And if I'm honest, look, Ryan Kessler is out of gas. We panned that deal when they signed it. It was awful right away. Corey Perry was a guy that we knew that deal would end badly, but it was worth it at the time. I think that's come up a little quicker than they would have hoped, and he's just coming back from knee surgery. He doesn't look good. To me, Getzlaff is pissed off and kind of fed up. I still think he could contribute something to a good team. Like, I think you could get something for him. Not like the number one guy that he used to be, but if you could put him somewhere where he's expected to be the number two guy, I still think there's good years left in him. But, you know, they have pieces coming too. Like, out of those three teams, I don't know what Detroit is doing. Edmonton has to shed, and they don't seem to believe they have to do that. I would rather be Anaheim because they have pieces coming too, right? Like, in terms of Max Jones, in terms of Sam Steele, and they've got that good young defense. Like, they're going to be okay.
Well, see, but I wonder, right, when you look at that next, and this is where I was going earlier, when you look at that next wave of core, when they have sort of looked to and they go, well, we have Ricard Raquel, right? They got Silverberg.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you include Nick Ritchie in that, right? But those sorts of things, you go, is that cutting it for you? Now, maybe with the guys you bring up, right?
Yeah,
we'll
in the coming years.
Can develop into a sniper like he was. Guy was lights out in the WHL.
Right.
Right. We'll see. We'll see. But you look at Detroit, and again, if you have it up there, I have no idea. They put Ferk on waivers today. I saw.
Yeah.
But I have Zetterberg. I think they're still on the hook for the.
Yeah, that one's still got at least another year. I'm looking forward here. Like they're just. They're so
AAV is high on that.
Yeah, and Cronwall is still like they're talking about re-signing Cronwall. Like, I don't know. You got to turn the page, man. Justin Abdelkader was a bad deal, right? Like, but it's a $5 million bad deal. It's not killing you. Although they do say that's where you can miss a little bit on your top guys. You can't miss in that kind of $3 to $6 million range, guy. So,
Because the ever shrinking middle income, middle of your lineup guy is, as we talked about, he's becoming a dinosaur, right? Just in terms of, you can't have too many $5 or $6 million guys. You can have a bunch of 1 through 3.5, and then your top end guys. You can't have too many guys in that middle area.
So if you're taking
especially somebody like Justin Abdelkader,
right? If you're taking over that team, or if you're GM taking over one of the three, which one do you want?
I want Anaheim. Yeah. I think, you know, when you see those cartoons when it's like summer and then all of a sudden there's like a foot of snow.
Yeah.
Right. To me, that's what's happened to the top end of Anaheim. If you can find some way to jettison some of that, I think they'll be okay. Are they going to be division winning? No.
No.
Right. But I think you have good young goaltending. At least it's tolerable right at this moment.
Yep.
Right. Gibson's in that sort of team.
I think he's just worn out. I think he's still top of the league, top 10 guy. I think he's just worn out.
I think he's more 10 to 15.
Okay.
But I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. He's top half of the league for sure. And the defense has always been solid. Although they keep plucking away from it, right?
Yeah.
You'll notice they keep poaching pieces off of it. And so,
Shea Theodore ends up in Vegas. Sammy Vatanen ends up in New Jersey, right? Like
this is it. And so, you know, you're left with what, Fowler and Hampus Lindholm and
whatever else.
But still,
Manson. It's interesting because with Edmonton, you'd think at least I got that piece, but to me, they've just got so much to unload before they can start to rebuild, and they don't want to talk rebuild. So fuck you.
You can't have too many. Well, this is it. And when it comes down to undesirable pieces, right? And you go, who wants that at this point? Nobody. Right. And the thing with Lucic, you look at it, he spent that time in Los Angeles where nobody was looking at him.
Right.
Right. When he left from Boston, I know all you left coasters listeners out there are thinking, of course, everybody's watching. No, nobody's watching. Really. No, sorry.
Got to go to
if
bed.
The game isn't intriguing. Nobody's watching. Yeah. Nobody's watching Vancouver and LA on a Saturday night. Not even in those two cities.
No, it's true.
That he was already expired, right?
Yeah.
By the time you looked, and even in his prime, he would be dominant, but he'd go through stretches where he went, if I don't bother him, if I just leave him alone, he's fairly ineffective.
Right.
But if I piss him off, if I hit one of his teammates or I, you know, get in his grill, he's gonna fuck me up, that guy. And I think now that it's just the game has, and again, to use that snowfall reference, and we've talked about it on a bunch of different shows, the game has got so fast, so quick, right, that it's left guys like, I'm out in the cold, man. I'm out in the cold.
Yeah. Well, and I think the circle kind of all the way back around, Corey Perry might be the next one. But why don't we move on? Go ahead.
Just a second. Before we do, though.
Yeah.
I think the most damning thing here for to answer Liam's question is, you and I can both look at Anaheim and we can both look at Edmonton and go, I see where the problems are here.
Yeah.
Right. It's pretty easy to look at. Edmonton's a bit of a shit show where you go, I mean, Detroit, where you go,
you've just got way too many of these guys, Mike Green and DeKeyser and all of them in that kind of mid range that are all just adding up on, you know, I don't know what you're trying to be.
Yeah, and if they want to do it right, and they are just a couple points in front of Ottawa as of right now, and so clearly you're up against the cap, and it's not working.
And that's what's so damning, right, is all three of these teams that Liam's pointed out, terrible teams, and pressed against the cap, you couldn't be in a worse situation.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Alex in Minneapolis. Did either of you watch the opening weekend of the AAF? What did you think? Did you check it out at all this past weekend?
You know what? I saw a little bit on highlights. I didn't sit down and watch a game. I do know that looking at the reviews, some fairly positive reviews coming out.
I probably watched most of a half, I guess, as much as I could give it before the Leafs started. I think I was watching, it was the San Antonio Commanders. It was pretty sharp, man. CBS, national television. I liked the uniforms. They were pretty cool. The production value was pretty well done. And for the most part, it looked like, at least on opening week, pretty good brand of football. They've made some rule changes. There's no kickoffs. There is no point after kick. You have to go for two. Like, clearly they're looking for action to try and differentiate themselves a little bit. From what I looked at, I enjoyed it. I could sit down and watch a game of that.
Right. And they were talking about, and I was reading, I saw a couple of highlights, and then I was reading an article in The Athletic, just assuming that this was going to come up, right, at some point somewhere. For me, the problem is they're still at, and now to me, they have a window where you can make something happen.
Right.
Right. People are saying, when you're still selling coaches like Steve Spurrier and like as your biggest draw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's okay. That's what's going to get some eyeballs on the TV.
Yep.
You then have to have entertaining games, right? Which again, you hear people talk about, the Birmingham Irons and yep. Orlando. I can't remember what Orlando's team's name is. It'll never be anything as cool as the Solar Bears. but yeah, some good reports, you know. I still look at the quarterbacks. And again, I read the article, and I was the two quarterbacks who did quite well. Orlando put up 40 points, I believe.
That's right.
And so, but I'm still like, ah. And I'm not a big NCAA guy, so I'm probably not the guy to. Sure. But yeah, great vehicle for these guys, though, if they're looking to hold a clipboard in the NFL.
Right. Well, like, and there's something to that, right? Like, can I just get noticed here, right? And you know, from what I saw, I don't think it's going to happen right away. But I do see this as something that could bite into the CFL. And we've talked about that a little bit, but you're on American national television. You know, they're going to let you, you know, opt out of your contract if the NFL comes calling, where the CFL has some complications there. You know, I didn't really take this too seriously. And part of that dates back to, you know, the first go around with the XFL, who also had great ratings during the first week, and it must have been curiosity because they went off a cliff right after that, and they never found it again. We'll see maybe what week two looks like. Do they suffer the same drawback, or do they manage to hold on to this? But it does look like a pretty good brand of football from the little I saw.
And to me, this smacks more of USFL.
Yeah.
Right. I know it's probably too old for you.
Sure, but the XFL the first time around was extreme, and we're going to capture this WWF thing, right? It had a bit more of a car crash vibe to it, where these guys, much like the USFL, are trying to go legit.
Right, and there was guys who came over from that league. It was successful in a lot of ways, right? And so, I'll be super interested to see how it goes, but I think they've done well enough early to sort of hook some people to get some ideas.
I think so too. The next one here, Leanne in Mississauga. Keeping in mind he's going to miss a couple of weeks to start the season, what are reasonable statistical expectations for Vladdy Guerrero Jr.? And a second paragraph here, non-sports related. I know you guys are based in Ottawa, but I wish you... sorry, I missed a line. I know you guys are based in Ottawa and like to support the local guys. I wish your craft beer took on a little more of the province, as there's a ton of great stuff out there, and I like hearing your opinions. To address the second part first, I think that's legit, and I think we would like to, and we're certainly open to that. We do like to support the local guys, but you're kind of at the mercy of where you are and what's in the LCBO, but we're certainly not closed-minded to the idea of, you know, you find something from somewhere else. We have done that before. But I do get it. And I think to expand on Leanne's point here a little bit, you know, we can cover more of the province as much as we want, but we are kind of where we are. And, you know, if Mason in Manitoba says you should be talking more about the Manitoba craft beer scene, we're kind of up Schitt's Creek, right? There's not much we can do about that.
Yeah. Well, and is she saying, you know, I want to hear more about other stuff because I want to drink it myself?
No, that's what I get. Yeah, I like hearing your opinions on it. So maybe,
hey, there's so much good stuff out there. I can't get it, and I need to lay my hands on it. Leanne, you could start sending us stuff.
We can certainly talk about that.
she's right.
Yeah.
A good buddy I work with, my good buddy. I don't really have any of those. Yeah, exactly. But he left to go to take over a management position in Hamilton. And I know Hamilton and that area, Burlington, is booming.
Yeah.
Right, in terms of craft beer sales.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
so, I was going to say Nickel City, but I know Collective Arts is down there. They're killing it, right? So,
and we did recently talk about it's closer to London, but Railway City, you know, it's sort of wherever we get to and we can find some stuff and sort of whatever pops into the LCBO, we're hamstrung just a little bit, but it's a fair point.
We do our local stuff because we can drive to it.
Exactly.
It's not just an LCBO grab.
Right.
Although you and I were in Brantford and we both love beer, but I love the idea that they have their own selection of locals that we never get here.
Right.
So further to Leanne's point, I loved it. I love being able to just browse through the beer and go, hey, look at that. That looks cool.
One or two of these, one or two of those.
This is it, right? And sampling a bunch of stuff. So Leanne, really, we empathize with your point. We also want to try different beer.
You obviously know how to send us private messages here. Do it again. We'll hook you up with a mailing address. Why don't you send us Mississauga's finest craft beers? We can certainly talk about that on the... But it sounds like more like she's looking for help discovering new stuff. So I don't know. But we're open to that.
And Leanne, I think you should also let us know what you're interested in.
Yeah, it's true.
What are you drinking? Because honestly, a bunch of people are doing different stuff.
It's true,
right?
So yeah. Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
Matt's getting ready to get his IPA legs on. So.
Well, let's not get carried
away. Everybody can grow.
yeah. That's true.
I can change, and you can change. We can all change.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr., she does note he's going to miss a couple of weeks. Obviously, he's starting in the minors. We talked about that a couple of shows ago. But let's assume he's called up for May 1st. What do you think a reasonable expectation for Vladdy is? Because all the experts are saying that this is one of the top prospects ever in baseball, and he's coming up at age 20.
I fully expect Vlad to kill it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, man.
We'll see what happens, how well he's going to be insulated in the lineup.
Not well.
As opposed that's going to be the only drawback, right?
Yeah. Can Justin Smoke provide enough protection?
Yeah, but this is a guy, and you know what? Let's see what he does for Justin Smoke.
Yeah, could be.
Right? If I got a pitch to you, right, you can't keep sort of moving guys around, putting guys on base. I'm looking at clips of this guy when he was 11 years old, smoking the ball, Vlad Guerrero Jr., that is. Just a pure swing, right? And I think, really, I expect good numbers. I probably expect him.
I'm looking at probably a slash line of around 300 batting, 380 on base, and maybe around 500 slugging. Like, to me, 300 is not out of the question for this guy, even as a rookie.
See, I expect him to be over 300.
Yeah?
Yeah, to me, you've put your toe right in the water, and so now I'm just piggybacking on you.
Sure, but I have the advantage of sort of knowing which questions are coming, so I also took a look around at a few different predictions, and some are way higher, 340, some have them around 270. It's a nice sawed off in the middle here for me at 305.
Well, right? But see, that's how I see it, 300, 310, right? I obviously see him, I think, early being more of a to-the-power alley guy than straight home runs.
Yeah, right. But I probably still got him 20 home runs, you think, over 140 games?
Yeah, no, 20 to 25, sure. Yeah. I don't think that's...
70 RBIs, maybe?
I think anybody who is going to expect him to come up and put up 40 home runs
I don't know if I was sending these to you or not, but there were people on Twitter last year, at the start of the year especially, while he was still down in AA, where obviously there's not much of a TV contract. And so you're getting your shitty internet broadcast or whatever these games, and people are just posting shots of his home runs, and the sound of the ball hitting AA pitching is just that classic, and I'm not going to try and, you know, what, but you just hear this, that guy crushed that ball, and it's some of these little AA stadiums that are out in the fucking parking lot, right? Like, he's hammering shit around.
Yeah.
And it was unreal to watch, and every night it seemed like someone was like, here's the newest or the latest one from New Hampshire, and I think he's going to hit for power. I think he's going to have a just fine average. 70 home runs, or excuse me, 20 home runs, 70 RBIs. And
are you sure it's not Bob Uecker hitting two pieces of wood together like in Bull Durham? Right? Like,
is there a good baseball movie that Bob Uecker wasn't in?
can't think of one.
No, for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think Bob Uecker was in Bull Durham.
Okay, because he was in Major League, and I haven't seen Bull Durham.
He was in Major League for sure. You haven't seen Bull Durham?
I have not seen Bull Durham.
Bull Durham hasn't aged well, right? People wearing the...
Goes for a lot of things, man. A lot of us.
The high-waisted 90s jeans. Bad. Bad, man. Just doesn't... It doesn't hold. But, yeah, solid movie. Solid movie, Bull Durham. And it's all about minor league ball. Right. And guys working their way up. But yeah, I'm with you. Right. I would expect more than 20 home runs.
I love it, man.
I would expect, I think you're 70 RBIs. I don't think the Jays are going to score a lot.
Right. Who's going to be on base ahead of them?
This is it. Right. I think he's going to be. Now, we'll wait and we'll see, but I believe he'll be one of the lone bright spots.
Well, I was just going to ask you to expand on Leanne's question here a little bit. Will he be, notably or clearly the Blue Jays' best hitter this year, or will there be some growing pains before that's the case?
I believe he's a professional hitter. When it comes to the hitting side of the game, I think he's a natural.
I think we'll be frustrated a little bit watching him defend at third from time to time. I'm not sure how long for that role he's going to be, but they're going to give him this year at it. But I fully expect him to be a very capable major league hitter. And I think I brought this up on the show before, that someone said last year in AA, one of these fan prospectus or whatever, these publications that predict, what these prospects are going to look like, that Vladdy Guerrero Jr., while he was in AA, was closer to the best hitter in baseball than he was to the second best hitter in AA, which was unreal at the time to think about, right?
Like, wow. Honestly, it's almost complicated. You're like, all right. And to me, errors over or under 20?
Yeah. Right around, that's a tough call. That'll be around the number. I guess if you force me, I'll take the over.
I'm going with the over too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
if they're going to keep running them out.
Yeah, which they should. Right, let's see if he can do it.
Well, you're not going to win a pennant. How about that? They just give out pennants anymore? Like, what the hell is that? They're not going to make postseason ball this year, so there's really no reason why you don't just.
Let him take his lumps.
Defensively, let him work on it. But yeah. I honestly fully expect to hear Dan Shulman and Buck.
Oh, he booted it.
Oh, but he did it well.
Yeah. No name on this one, but I thought it was a good question. I think this must have come in before the decision was made. Really surprised you guys haven't been talking about the Kyler Murray story, as it seems perfect for a debate-type show like this. Have you been following it? Which road would you choose if you were him? Are you familiar with this guy?
A little bit. Can you refresh?
So Kyler Murray is a player, I believe, from Oklahoma, who was...
Oh, yeah. Who was up for...
Well, so for the good listener, was up for, declared for the MLB draft. And the Oakland A's took him in the first round. cost them $5 million roughly in signing bonus. But he was also a top end prospect for the NFL. And in order for him to declare for their draft, which he had to do earlier this week, that's why I say I think this question must have come in just before that, he would have to essentially give back the signing bonus to Oakland, which I guess he's done, because he has declared for the NFL draft where he is a quarterback. I'm not actually sure which position he is in baseball now that this comes up, but it's been a bit of an interesting story to see. You know, you're clearly a top-end guy. He's sort of projected to go mid to late first round in the NFL. Obviously went first round in the MLB draft to Oakland. It's an interesting story, man, because there's very different roads here. Your NFL career is much shorter, but it's very high profile. The MLB career can be much longer, but it takes you a long time to get through the minor league system and get your money. This was a really interesting one. Safer sport, you know, less chance of getting crippled.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, reading a couple things and listening to a couple things on it, right, in terms of, just as you say, the signing bonus is fantastic, and you know, anytime somebody wants to throw $5 million at me,
sure,
I'll take it.
Matt at tallcanaudio.com. Hit us up.
Yeah. E-transfer is good.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, the money to be made initially, I think, as a potential first round pick as a quarterback, you're looking at more money, right? I think it's more money sooner is really what I think is the lure of going the NFL route.
There's a crash and burn factor there, though. We've seen with Johnny Manziel, right? We've seen with some of these guys that don't pan out, but you're going to get a shot and you're going to be a celebrity and you're going to make some money pretty quick.
How about your Tom Brady's and your John Elway's?
Well, they turn out okay.
Those are guys who went the NFL route despite being drafted in the MLB.
Yeah.
Tom Brady drafted as an Expos catcher.
Just heard that for the first time before the Super Bowl. I had no idea.
Okay. Yeah. If you crash and burn 3 years in, what's stopping you from pursuing
your
baseball dream?
That's the thing. I think if you're going to do this, if you're going to do one before the other, you try the NFL first. You get your money.
Yep.
It happens right away. MLB, even with his $5 million signing bonus, you're headed to AA Pawtucket or some shit, right, for however long.
Yeah.
And then
Bakersfield,
right?
The Bakersfield Bunions.
Exactly, man. And you're riding the fucking buses. You joked earlier about the Orlando Solar Bears. You want to see some fun team names? Hit up minor league baseball. Even Lids carries a bunch of their shit. There's some great stuff, man.
Well, and there's, you'll see their zany seventh inning stretch stuff.
Yeah.
People doing all kinds of crazy shit in minor league ballparks. A lot of it not PC, right?
Right.
But.
And so you're riding the buses and you're making $75 a week or whatever the hell it is, right? Because they're fighting right now just to get minimum wage into minor league baseball. I think if you have this high a profile, I think I'm probably doing what he did, right? He's doing the NFL first. And if I, you know, if I flame out or I get hurt or whatever, I'm clearly good enough to try this baseball thing again in 3 years or 5 years or whatever.
Well, and if you're not going to ink me to a big enough contract or signing bonus...
Well,
I'm thinking about trying
that
baseball
limit.
Thing.
Oh, I see. Going into the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got this as leverage, right? Treat me right,
yep.
Or yeah, yeah.
What are you giving me? What are you guaranteeing me? Or else I walk.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you end up in a place like, I don't know,
Jacksonville.
Fuck,
of course.
Yeah. I'm going to say Cleveland, but now they're a juggernaut.
Yeah. Fuck.
Hey, just a second. While we're listening to, you know, whoever's question this was.
No name on this one, yeah.
No name. You see the Detroit Lions have said they don't want to be part of Hard Knocks?
No, I didn't. That's normally like, fucking big money and big attention and...
Well, and I think, but they don't, they're like, no, it's negative. You know, but they're like, you know who you should do? You should go to John Gruden and the Raiders. That's a shit show that you should really be. So not only have they said, yeah, we don't want to be involved with your show.
We've got suggestions. Because we think it's...
But yeah, how about those losers? They're bigger losers than us.
I'd watch I'd watch that. I'd watch the Raiders fucking... Wow, man. No, I had no idea.
There you go.
I've never heard of a team turning it down. I've wondered a bunch of times, is it more hassle than it's worth, right? Like, is it more of a distraction than we've seen it on the NHL side, right? Like, where Bruce Boudreau's never been viewed the same again since his appearance, where it was just F-bomb after F-bomb. You know.
Hey, Bruce Boudreau, never tuck your shirt in, Bruce. Never tuck your shirt in like that, especially your red turtleneck. Honest to God, man. Nothing is accentuating your boiler more than that red turtleneck tucked in.
Yikes.
But I love those. I love those road to the.
Yeah, I used to. I'm kind of over it, but I used to love them. They were a cool idea.
The best thing I ever saw, Marc-Andre Fleury, in one of the years they were there, and he was still in Pittsburgh, obviously, and they're working on shootouts in the outdoor, and he's all mic'd up, and he's just dropping F-bombs like nobody's business.
I remember that.
Well, it's you, eh, you fucker? This fucker coming again? Fuck you, you fucker, trying to fucking go talk to Joe. Fuck you! He's just cursing and swearing.
Love that. Just battling.
And for sure, he's just working. These are his teammates.
The end of Randy Carlyle in Toronto. Was behind the scenes, couldn't work the fucking toaster. He eventually gets fed up in one of the rooms and like smashes the toaster after it won't work. You're like, you probably need to go.
Randy. Yeah, and clearly he's been unable to work a toaster in Anaheim let go from there as well. Randy?
The next one we got here is from Nathan. Nathan seems like a nice young guy. Are you two both prepared to eat shit on the Carter Hart call-up to the Flyers? He continues, I kid, but seriously, eat shit. So, this does sound like a Flyers fan.
Blow me.
Like this, Nathan doesn't put where he's from, but Nathan does come across as a good Philly sports fan. So thanks to Nathan, good Philly sports fan. You know what? I'm prepared to eat it. I was way off the mark. I said this is a terrible idea. I still believe, hindsight being what it is, you know, 9 times out of 10, this doesn't work, and you don't need to look any further than Michael DiPietro in Vancouver the other night. But I've pulled it up here. In 18 starts, he is 11-6-1 with a .924 save percentage. Is Carter Hart in Philadelphia? So clearly, it's gone well, and he has rejuvenated their season, which I didn't see coming. They just looked like they were flailing and making moves, you know, trying to make their fans excited. But it's panned out.
Yeah, I'm obviously equally as surprised, right? I'm not willing. Let's wait and see how the whole thing pans out. Clearly better than what I had thought.
Sure.
Right? But as you suggest, hindsight is what it is. Right? We have history on our side, and at the end of the day, we talked about it. When you hear that stat that says, or Frank Saravelli saying, this may be the best goaltending prospect to ever come out of the CHL.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, easy.
Yeah. For sure.
Right? But Nathan can hold on just a little bit there.
So how about this? I mentioned 11-6-1, so 18 games for Carter Hart with a .924 save percentage. Brian Elliott in 14 starts, a .911 save percentage, better than I would have expected. In the other 26 games, the 5 other goalies who've played for Philly this year, an .877 save percentage.
So, are you throwing a little shade towards Alex
Anthony
Stalock
Stallers or whatever? Yeah.
Stallers, yes, yeah. There you go.
Michael Neuwirth and whoever the hell else has been through. Is Michael Layton back yet? No,
he's not. Great story, though. Everybody loves sort of the emergence of another great Canadian goalie, right?
Sure.
Lord knows we need one, right? So if he's going to be the guy, perfect.
Yep.
But yeah, way better when you look at that, you know, he was in net for 8 of their 9 wins on that run they were on.
Right.
Yeah. Who saw that? Who saw that coming? Clearly Nathan.
Obviously. It does look like it's going to be just enough to get them back in the playoff race without actually making it and cost them a better play, draft pick. But, things have gotten pretty toxic there.
Well, and really, it's the whole, they're talking about, Gordon is the coach there, right?
That's brought in? Yep.
That he's sort of, he's really been able to sink his teeth into a bunch of stuff and they're bringing a bit of a playoff mentality to the regular season, which really, if you're going to get back into it, right, you got to do those sorts of things. But clearly, when it comes right down to it, yeah, if you're not getting solid goaltending, so let's
how about the Blues? Jordan Binnington up 11-1. They had another kid, I think he was Finnish, I could be wrong, I can't remember his name, that they expected to be their next guy. He's injured, so Binnington comes up. He's got like a 920 save percentage, 11-1. The Blues are on an insane run, and that's countered by Jake Allen's 895, I believe, something like that is his save percentage. So sometimes
don't throw any shade Jake's way. Jake had a good game the other night.
Yeah, okay.
But likewise, right, in terms of what you're reading and what you're seeing, like Scott Gordon in Philly, you're talking about Craig Berube in St. Louis. Is that right? Craig Berube?
I thought it was Mike Yeo, but I could be wrong. Is he out? I don't know. I thought Craig Berube was in Florida, to be honest with you. No, that's Bob Bugner.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. One goon to another.
Yeah. I think it's what he's brought.
Yeah.
Right? Again, more than Binnington.
Wow, Binnington. Sure. But how about this? Tarasenko, 11 goals in his last 15 after doing shit all in the first half. So he's caught fire too here. Maybe just some of these guys had to stop sleepwalking.
Is the goaltending responsible for that too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan, eat shit.
We got one more here. This one comes from Jay.
Just kidding, Nathan. Love the question. Thanks.
For sure. I kind of like being held a little bit, being held to account on some of these things. This one just came in this morning after last night's Leaf game against Colorado. In the weeks leading up to Austin Matthews' contract extension, he looked a little off and wasn't putting up the same points we're used to. Now, after Mitch Marner's agent's outburst last week and the contract spotlight being squarely on him, he appears to be struggling. Do you think there's anything to the long-held... This is getting wordy. Anything to the long-held idea that you can be distracted by these things in season, or is it just the ebbs and flows of a season? Ebb and flow, that's nice. I like that. I'll let you take that first.
For me, it has way more to do. I think Matthews has had whatever his issues were. I think he's had shoulder issues.
But he's been on fire since signing the deal. I think is
right for sure. Right, they played Ottawa that first night.
Right,
scored a goal to get off the snide a bit. Right,
yeah.
I believe with Marner, if there's any more than any contract pressure, I think it's keep your dad off the radio.
Fucking right.
And keep your small potato agent, right? keep him from trying to micromanage things, right? If you're feeling pressure, it's because your support group was bringing that on you.
Yeah, that's what this whole thing was supposed to be about. We don't want to talk contract in season because it's a distraction. And then he's the one that goes on the radio and loses his mind on Austin Matthews' contract day, which is one of Marner's best friends, like rains all over that fucking thing. Man, great job, guys. Like,
yeah. Well, and if you listen to anybody who's done the GM or the assistant GM job and they talk about that, they talk about agents who have a small client base. Right.
Yeah.
That they tend to overmanage.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, we only got these couple of guys. We're going to be all over it.
I'm working it.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you're with one of the bigger agencies, you don't have those same issues because I have a bunch of irons in the fire, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I think if there's any pressure that he's feeling, it has so much more to do with his handlers.
Right. No, I think that's true. But you don't think, because I agree with that, but you don't think in general terms these guys struggle when they're coming up to it, or the contracts, that's a total non-factor?
Well, and you know what? I don't watch the Leafs as closely as you do.
It's true, man.
To me, I think, yeah, well, and there's a reason for that. there's not enough prep age kicking around to decrease that.
Sure.
Yeah, I look at when they take him off of Tavares' lineup and they spot and they move him around to try and get other guys going, right? I think that can't be, you know, I don't know where he played last night. I don't know if they've gone back to
they put him Martin back with Tavares and they got caved in, just terrible all night.
Right, but that line that duo was killing it.
Yes.
Like to me,
yes.
they had this real nice chemistry.
Well, and this is the thing, right? We're talking about him struggling. We're talking about maybe three games. Like sometimes that just happens, right? Like he's on point or on pace for almost 100 points here.
I was looking at it the other day, and he was only at 63 points still, or 68 points, whatever it was. I was surprised.
Yeah,
it was still in that range, though.
Yeah, I think he's on pace right now for like 97, 98. So right in that kind
of. Whereas at one point he was like
115. But yeah, everybody honestly, was. Remember, we talked about that too. That like seemed like half the league was on pace to shatter the 100 point mark, and then everybody sort of, not everybody.
Chris Tierney.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No, seriously, he had like 18 points in his first 12 games.
I can't believe that didn't keep up.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
No, to me, I that's what I think. More than any kind of pressure he's feeling, I think he's, yeah, I think it's the line mate issue.
Just leave it alone.
And it's his handlers.
Yeah.
Coaches.
Yeah. Just
leave it be.
Stop tinkering. Stop picking at it.
And stuff's going to happen, right? You are going to get as Giuseppe points out, the ebbs and flows of the NHL season. There will be ups and downs.
Yeah.
Right? Every point producer, right? There's nobody who's slump proof.
Yeah, ask Patrick Laine what's up.
Yeah, don't need to ask. Ask Rob Christie. Okay. Who's got Patrick Laine in the pool and he's just killing me.
And the second you fucking decide to drop him, you know he's going off for 15 and 10.
I'm holding it close.
For sure, man. That's it, man. I think these were some good ones. I thought this was kind of a cool way to mark the 300th show. Always cool to hear from you guys. Nice when we can open up the floor and answer some of your questions. And
for sure. Now, it's worth noting, and you've touched on it a couple times, so it's not going to be a complete and total shock to the good listener, but I had no idea what the questions were.
Right.
So.
No, and that's sort of the idea. In a perfect world, I wouldn't either, but I grabbed them and copied and pasted them into one document so it was easier for me to follow, right? And
I'm kidding. It's better. Like, yeah. For me, you need to know it because on the Kyler Murray front, right, I'm like, what?
So one of us better know what's coming. It's going to be a bad
show. Oh, yes, show. Okay, exactly. Because the two of us are reading going, I don't know.
Who the fuck's Kyler Murray?
Is he a half-pipe skier?
Right.
Is he a curler?
Hey,
no.
And parents, stop naming your kids Kyler. Come on. Like, what are you doing?
Thatcher.
The Thatcher Demko Award. Awarded every year.
Before we get off the air, and I've meant to touch it, and now the further we get along from
touch it,
it's more and more of it. Touch it, come on, touch it. It's why the NHL can't shut down for the Olympics, but it can shut down for almost 20 days for its stupid All-Star break. Now I know half the league was going, and then half the league was going the next, but there was a pile of nothing happening on both sides.
Yeah,
we got one game tonight. That, to me, however you want to spin it, the lights are dark in 15 to 20 of your arenas for a long stretch of time. Don't tell me you can't shut down for an Olympics.
No, it's true, man. It's this has always been a, well, this one benefits us and this one doesn't. Like, just come out and say that, right? We make money on this one and we don't on the other, right? And you go, all right, well, that sucks, but at least I get it. Like, you're just full of shit with, like you say, we have, like, essentially 2.5 weeks compromised of.
Yeah.
And you're really fucking with my fantasy team is more my concern.
Goddamn right. That's good. Matt, you hit the nail right on the head.
You're killing me.
Yeah, this is it. I didn't bank enough of a lead in the front half when two-thirds of my lineup is playing. But this, and it's so long. So, and I know we are now a couple of weeks past that, but yeah. To me, it's as a hockey fan and as a viewer, yeah, it's too long.
Well, and how did we ever get by without the bye week, right? Like, suddenly that's a... And here's the thing when we talk about, like, this was one of the things that the PA pushed for, was wanting this break. The Leafs, I can't speak for every team, but when the Leafs came back, they played 4 games in 6 nights. So, are you really any better off? Maybe you should have just let that shit roll, right? Like,
well, that's when they did the whole World Cup and they did the Olympics, all those things. Yeah, that's what happens, right?
You're like,
well, the season is now compressed.
Right.
Well, if you're not extending it or starting earlier, and how about don't send teams to China? How about that?
As long as they're sending Boston, I'm fine.
And Calgary.
Yeah. Get out of here. I think before that it was Vancouver and LA or Vancouver and Anaheim or something.
Well, see, and I've blacked it out because nobody cares about the Canucks.
No, exactly. But they keep talking about they want the Leafs to go do one of these European games, and it never happens because the Leafs are one of the teams that make money for the league during the preseason, right? Like, there's still a $300 ticket. That's all going to HRR, so the league doesn't want to send them. The players don't want to send them. Yeah, why don't you just stay home? And although they did send us to Lucan this year for maybe that was your home game. I don't know.
It was our home game.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense to me. But everything else back to the Air Canada Center.
Yeah. Well, and you're playing in this. Honestly, the sight lines are terrible in that game. I'm like, oh my God, what am I looking at?
I can't believe Lucan doesn't have an arena fit for national television.
Well, they do now. Anyway,
sure, with their $500,000 upgrade.
Yeah, that's all. It's been bothering me. That's okay, sort of been sticking in my craw a bit.
Well, it's good to get it off your chest, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for entertaining it fully.
That's Tall Can Sports 300. We appreciate you guys listening to all of these. We appreciate your questions, and we'll be back later on this week with some more of them. Man, I guess you can take your pants off again. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Woo-hoo!
All right, we'll see you all later on the next Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast.